Let's come before our great God in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the Ten Commandments. They clearly reflect your holiness and your goodness and your majesty. We pray now as we look at this particular commandment, we pray that you will convict us if we need to be convicted and equip us to be able to be obedient in this world that seeks to tolerate or turn a blind eye to the stealing that is all around us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. During my time with the AMP Society, I can only remember one case where a staff member was caught stealing money. Very few people knew about the situation until the police walked into the department and then accompanied him out to face the consequences. He had been responsible for sending out checks to people who had overpaid their premiums. And what he had done was he had actually falsified checks, and in his own name, of course, and sent them to his mailbox. Now, we had rostered day off, and he had a day off one day, and someone had called up to make an inquiry about their refund, and a person had gone to the records, had a look, and discovered something suspicious. They had gone to the management, and the management had decided, I think in consultation, to allow it to continue for a little bit longer to get enough evidence to convict this particular individual. Some people, when working with money, find it hard not to steal, or they would say borrow from their employer for their own purposes. In the New York Times, they ran a number of articles on the Ten Commandments. On their eighth article, they introduced us to a young woman called Anne. Anne wanted to be a nun, but because of family and business pressures, ended up embezzling money and serving a 10-month sentence, as well as repaying about $84,000. Anne had proven herself to be a great fundraiser through her local Catholic Church, which led to her being appointed to the Chamber of Commerce. In her position, she managed the check account, and she started using the check account as her own check account. She was arrested and convicted in March 2001 of embezzling between $70,000 and $120,000. She said, "I would never deliberately break one of the Ten Commandments. I knew stealing is wrong, but in my mind I was not stealing because I intended to replace the money I took. I would never walk into Macy's, and that's a big department store, and shoplift. I was in a desperate situation. I wanted to save my family and my family business, and this led me to do things that were wrong." How many people justify their stealing by thinking that they're only borrowing and will repay it later? People will go to great lengths to steal money. Another case, when I was working in AMP, I remember this particular one because someone had put in a death claim. They had died overseas in the Philippines, and there was a doctor's certificate certifying the person had died. In fact, there were even pictures of his body on a slab. But he wasn't dead. And the doctor had forged the certificate because when his girlfriend came to collect the money, I'm not sure how they discovered it, but she was arrested and he was arrested also. Is it all just about greed? Or is it about just wanting easy money? Is it about getting something for nothing? Stealing seems to be all around us, and people are more than happy to justify it so they don't feel condemned. The eighth commandment is very clear. You shall not steal. Full stop. It's not complicated. Don't take what does not belong to you. Now, within the book of Exodus, this commandment is actually developed a little bit in chapters 21 to 22. Some commentators believe that "you shall not steal" actually refers to kidnapping. Kidnapping comes up in chapter 21, verse 16, which says, "Anyone who kidnaps someone," or steals someone, of course, "is to be put to death, whether the victim has been sold or is still in the kidnapper's possession." Stealing also includes taking livestock. Chapter 22, verse 1, "Whoever steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it must pay back 5 head of cattle for the ox and 4 sheep for the sheep." But also stealing goods. in Exodus 22:7, if anyone gives a neighbor silver or goods for safekeeping and they are stolen from the neighbor's house, the thief in court must pay back double. So in relation to stealing, the only situation that carries the death penalty is if you have kidnapped an individual, a person. All other forms of stealing, interesting enough, is punishable or addressed by restitution. There is no chopping off of hands in the Old Testament. That does not exist. It's all about restitution, returning the goods, and of course more than what you've stolen, to pay back the person's loss. So this commandment, like the others, comes out of our love for God, which leads us to our loving our neighbour. If we love our neighbour, then we would not steal from them, but we would seek to protect and preserve what belongs to them. This commandment, like the rest, doesn't just forbid us from doing something, but encourages us to do something positive. And this is reflected in a number of Old Testament passages. We are to deliver the poor from oppression, exploitation. And in doing so, we reflect the character of God. Psalm 35:10 says, "My whole being will exclaim, who is like you, Lord? You rescue the poor from those too strong for them, the poor and needy from those who rob them." Sorry. Stealing can take many forms, or the scammers that ring us are seeking to steal from us. That's their purpose, that's their aim. But if we're believers, then in all our dealings, we are to be honest. And we are to be known to be honest, especially in our workplaces, especially in dealing with people that we're either buying or selling. God forbids the seller from stealing from the buyer in Deuteronomy chapter 25. We hear this: "Do not have two different weights in your bag, one heavy, one light. Do not have two different measures in your house, one large, one small. You must have accurate and honest weights and measures so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. For the Lord your God detests anyone who does these things, anyone who deals dishonestly." This commandment, "You shall not steal," also applies, like all the others, to our enemies and to those that hate us. And I don't have to go to the New Testament for that. Exodus 23 says, "If you come across your enemy's ox or donkey wandering off, be sure to return it. If you see the donkey of someone who hates you fallen down under its load, do not leave it there. Be sure you help them with it. If you can do good, then do good and let nothing stop you, because your motivation is love. Love for God and love for your neighbour. Stealing is a temptation that we face every day in many ways. The more that we walk close to the Lord, the more we can resist that temptation. People steal in secret when they break copyright laws, as we download books and software, music and movies without paying for any of it. And people justify it by simply saying these companies are making big profits and they are ripping us off and we're only getting even. What about our tax return? The tax office is seeking to always stay one step ahead of people who are stealing from them. People justify it by condemning the government and their policies. But how will governments pay for education, health and infrastructure when people and companies seek to avoid tax? What about work? Need some stationery? Need some stationery for home? Just go to the office. Not Office Works, but the office stationery cupboard, and just borrow there. The actual cost of workplace fraud, as reported by firms in a 15-year survey by KPMG, more than tripled between 1997 and 2012, from $105 million to $373 million. The most obvious targets of workplace theft were cash and products, but also undercharging, giving unauthorized discounts to friends, or altering documents or creating fictitious ones, theft of intellectual property, fraudulent refunding or insurance claims, receiving gifts or commissions from suppliers, and incorrect time recording, as well as using company time for personal matters. It's all around us. It seems to be one commandment we seem to be breaking constantly. And when it comes to shoplifting, the cost for businesses is in the billions. One estimation was $7.5 billion. And it's amazing. I didn't think it really happened that often, but it does. I heard a story just recently about a man walking into a jewelry shop. He was asking to look at some jewelries, and the shop attendant took out a $7,000 necklace, I think it was. So the customer was on one side of the counter, the shop attendant was on the other side of the counter. Before they knew it, the guy had grabbed the $7,000 necklace and bolted for the door, never to be seen again. It's amazing. People are bold. They want to steal, be it jewelry, be it clothes, be it groceries. And there's always opportunities for people to do that. We seem to be a world that's sort of looking for opportunities to steal. I once had to take Nicholas up to the hospital at Griffith. And I had my wallet in my back. I had tracksuit pants on. That day, for some reason, I'd taken out $150 to pay for the soccer and other things. In the hospital, my wallet had fallen down. I had not noticed it until I'd actually come out. Was not to be seen. Totally gone. Thought it was hard to imagine. Came back a few hours later, and they showed me this CCTV, the surveillance thing. What had happened was a gentleman had come to where the vending machine had was, and he had noticed my wallet was just fallen down. And what he did was quite clever. He knew the camera was showing, so he simply bent down, picked up my wallet without being seen by the camera, went back, gave it to his partner, who then went to the ladies' toilet and then took out the $150 and left it in the ladies' toilets. Some people just have that sort of sixth sense, you know, that there's an opportunity there to be taken. But there's also other ways that we can steal, which the Bible also mentions. And that's stealing from the poor. We live in a Western country, and like other Western countries, we get our clothes and other items from countries where workers do not receive the minimum wage, they do not have good working conditions, nor superannuation, and work in sweatshops. It's a very challenging thing as you walk into the shops and you see something that says made in Bangladesh, and you think, should I buy this? Or even made in China. Baptist World Aid every year puts out reports rating companies from coffee to fashion, from computers to smartphone, in terms of their dealing with individuals and other organisations in other countries that exploit people and promote slavery. So if you look up Baptist World Aid, there are a number of reports there that you can have a look. And they name names. They name companies and they rate them. And many of these companies are now taking notice because other people want to be ethical. They don't want to encourage slavery and they don't want to keep people in sweatshops. But that's something in the West that we do. We can steal from the poor. Theft, in whatever form it takes, is an attack on the dignity of human beings who are made in the image of God and on their work. Work is something that God has given to us for the benefit not only of ourselves nor our families, but also for others. God has given people gifts and abilities to be used for his glory and for them to make a living out of them. And we are not to steal from them, either physically or intellectually. Of course, one of the most serious forms of theft is identity theft, when someone takes over your identity by purchasing goods and services in your name, using your money and wiping you out financially. And we all have to be vigilant in relation to that. Everywhere that's around us, people are seeking to steal your information. But if we loved God, then we would love our neighbour, and this would not be such a worldwide epidemic. The challenge is, do we just follow the crowd? The challenge is, do we actually seek to want to deal with it? Because the gospel changes people from thieves into workers. The gospel takes a person who once possibly robbed people and changes them into a person who makes restitution even to their own financial hurt. And we see this in a man like Zacchaeus, who after meeting Jesus was a changed man. And he proved it. Because he says in verse 8, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. The gospel changes our values. The gospel changes what we love. We no longer love money. We no longer love getting something for nothing at other people's expenses. We no longer want to be dishonest so that we can get more and the other person less. God calls us to do justice. He does that in the book of Isaiah. And he does not care if we're religious. Religious activity or religious duty does not cut it with God if we are seeking to steal from those around us. In Isaiah chapter 58, God's people are complaining that they're fasting and God is taking no notice of them. And this is what he says. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke. To set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. God calls us to justice. God calls us to be active in seeking to care for people. To not steal means to be generous with those who have little or nothing, to seek justice for your neighbour when they can't, out of love for your neighbour because God loves you. But everywhere we turn, we are offered the opportunity to steal. A person doing a job for you offers to charge you less for cash so they don't have to declare it on their tax return. What do you do? If you say yes to that, then you're encouraging that person to steal from the government. You have a friend working for a company who offers to give you a discount that you're not entitled to do. What are you to do? If you accept that discount, that's stealing from the employer. You find out that your neighbour hasn't got a password on their Wi-Fi. You can get it for free, and they don't even know about it. If you do that, you're stealing from your neighbour. At work, someone does a good job, produces a good report, and you take the credit for it. Well, that's stealing from your neighbour. You borrow your neighbour's lawnmower or tools and you forget to return them. Well, that's stealing. You borrow money from a friend and you don't pay it back. That's stealing. There's opportunities and temptations all around us to steal. But the gospel transforms us because Jesus didn't steal from us, but he gave himself for us. He went to the cross so that he could make a people committed to doing good to others. The gospel changes us, as Paul calls the Christians in Ephesus to start living out that change in chapter 4, verse 28. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no more, but must work, doing something useful with their hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. As God's people, we are called to serve, to give, and to share, and never to steal. And never to make an excuse in relation to stealing. Tomorrow when you go to work, you might want to start a conversation on honesty, on the different ways people steal in our society, and see where that conversation may lead you. But you won't be able to share the gospel, my friends, if your work colleagues can point to you as someone who has no problems at stealing from the company or the workplace. Anne wanted to be a nun, ended up being convicted as an embezzler. She could make up as many excuses as to why she did it, but in the end, she was stealing. The commandment is clear, stealing is stealing, no matter the reason. But the gospel changes people. In 1922-23, Belfast in Northern Ireland experienced a revival of religion. People were converted and the gospel transformed them. And there was quite a number of shipyard workers converted, and they got convicted. So they brought back their tools, brought back the equipment that they had knocked off. That was their expression. In fact, they brought back such quantities of tools and equipment that one place had to build extra storage sheds just to hold the returned goods. The gospel transforms people. Zacchaeus was transformed by the gospel. These men were transformed by the gospel. What they had stolen, they had returned. Anyone and everyone who submits themselves to the Lord Jesus in repentance and faith is being changed and will be changed from a stealer to a server, because Jesus came to serve us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we hear the command, do not steal, but we see all around us people stealing, and we being encouraged to steal. And maybe we have even taken advantage of those opportunities, and we do pray that you'll forgive us. Help us to be men and women of integrity, men and women who respect the ownership of others, men and women who will not steal in any way to profit ourselves or to benefit ourselves. Help us to be like Zacchaeus, that if ever required, that we will make restitution. Because, Lord, you have restored us in relationship with you. May that relationship continue to shape us in every area of our life. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.